Well, hello and welcome to our service this morning. My name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints here in beautiful Malvern. And I'm recording this on Thursday. It's a lovely, amazing, beautiful autumn day. I suspect that by the time it comes to Saturday and Sunday, the weather will not be as good. But whatever the weather's like, wherever you are watching this, then we invite you to join us and come and connect with God together as we worship him today. And if you are a visitor, we would love to connect with you. We've got a new Connect With Us page on our website where you can add in your details and write some comments and just share some of your story with us. And if you're watching in for the first time or first few times and want to connect with us, please do so that way. We would love to hear from you. Well, later on in the service, the Reverend Paul Hunt, one of our retired clergy, is going to be speaking about being a people who worship God with the whole of their lives. And today, at a time where we can't sing our worship in church still, we want to think about how can we worship God in other ways too, and particularly in our day-to-day lives. And we're going to be having lots of different ways and ideas of doing that. And we're going to start today by worshipping God. And children, worship means basically just saying, God, you're amazing, and telling God how brilliant he is. And I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 8, written from the Message version of the Bible, which just say this. And as I read these, we're going to have some pictures which come up. All of these pictures are from Malvern itself to help you think about these words. So as you listen, perhaps bring your own prayers of worship to God. Psalm 8. God, brilliant God, yours is a household name. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous. Your handmade sky jewellery, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then they look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? Yet we've been so narrowly missed, being gods, bright with Eden's dawn lights. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis call, made us lords of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wilds, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean depths. God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world. Isn't that amazing words? And I hope that's helped you to connect with worship to God. And I encourage you just right now to stop and pause even more. And maybe if you're watching this on your TV screen, then actually pause it now and go outside and look at the beautiful creation around and bring your own prayers to God. If you're sitting at home, then just tell God how amazing he is. Think of his love for you. Tell him how much you're grateful for how much he loves you. And bring your own praise to him. And we're going to continue praising God and either singing if you're at home or listening if you're at St Andrew's. But do stand and mouth the words or be creative in your worship anyway. We're going to be singing or listening to this great song of praise. Indescribable. It talks about you are amazing God. It talks about you put the stars in the sky and you know them by name. Let's continue to bring our praise to our God.
Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. Holy exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly profane. Told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depth of my heart and you love me the same.
Well, the person who really inspired me about having this as a topic for our sermon series in these months is Neil Hornby. I was chatting to him a few weeks ago about worship, particularly the fact that we can't sing in church anymore. And Neil shared with me some of his heart as to how he worships, and particularly how he worships through his work and other creative things. And he's going to share some of those thoughts with us now, which I hope will stimulate some thinking about how what it means to really worship God with the whole of our lives.
Hi, I'm Neil from St Andrews. I attend the Wednesday morning men's group, and a few weeks back we were talking about not being able to sing in church and how else we could worship. Now, I'm not a natural singer. Anyone who's stood near me at St Andrews on a Sunday morning will recognise this. I can appreciate talented worship music though, and I can be inspired by watching others enter God's presence through singing, whether they're in tune or not. But I find adding my own voiced mix rarely helps me to enter God's presence. I know God appreciates my singing, however bad it is, but I feel it, for me, it jars and sometimes takes my mind off God. I'll often just sit and appreciate the music and focus on the words, thanking God for the truth in those words and comfortable in the fact that God hasn't gifted me in this area. I'm often also distracted during worship at church. In fact, I'm distracted any time I sit still. My mind always seems to be buzzing with creative ideas. I recognise my mind, however distracting it can be, is the mind that God has gifted me with, and I'm grateful. And to be able to use this mind to help address some of the problems I saw in my profession of teaching, for example, I see this as worship. And this kind of worship, using God's skills in the workplace, however, all very much involves doing, and this can be really exhausting at times. Sometimes it's good just to be in God's presence. For someone who always has several projects on the go, I find this hard though. And what I find can help me is to engage my mind in something, but something that's both calming and God-inspiring. For example, using creative activities as worship rather than seeing them as a distraction to worship. For example, at the moment, I'm using my spare time to renovate the house. And I love the craft side of this, using natural materials such as reclaimed oak, bricks or stone. And I love sharing this process with God, having a running commentary as we work, comparing notes with Jesus on carpentry. In a similar way to what was mentioned with Judith, by Judith and Lois last week, if a creative, worshipful process can also respect the environment by careful use of resources, by reusing and repurposing, or doing something that will have a positive impact on future generations, for example, even better. And with this in mind, I have bought a number of trees that I'd like to plant in the field behind our house. And I was wondering if anyone would like to join me in doing this. I'm planning to look at a selection of Bible verses, to each choose one that reflects where we're at with God, and to ponder as we plant, protect and support the young trees. If the weather is good, to share a meal over a fire. And also Chris Finn is keen to be involved, teaching us some woodland craft skills. We plan to do this on a Sunday after church, and I'll confirm a date with those who are interested. I'm not quite sure what to expect, but I trust God will bless us all through this activity and lead us into a greater understanding of the diversity of what worship can be. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Neil, for sharing that. And I would love to encourage you perhaps to stop this now and to talk amongst yourself, if you're watching this with others, as to how do you connect with God? How do you worship God in your daily life? Are there any particular places or things that you do which helps you and encourages you to worship God rather than just what we do in church? Have a chat with each other now and share your thoughts. Well, it's time for our children and our young people to help go off to do their activities. As usual, we've got some activities for children on the website. Our young people are down here at St Andrews, and we're enjoying having them meeting in person. So children and young people, let's just pray for you now. We thank you, Lord, for our children and young people. We thank you that they are just such an important part of our church and teach us so much. And we pray that you would bless them today, that they would learn themselves to worship you with the whole of their lives, and that they would grow to know you more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to say some words of the Creed now, which is a way of, again, just bringing our worship to God by just declaring this is what we believe. And we think particularly about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to join in with these words with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Well, before we have our prayers, here Peter is going to share with us something exciting that's coming up in November that may be for church members, but particularly for people in our communities, and a way of us in our worship offering to serve others, particularly those who are struggling at this difficult time. Here's Peter to share more, and then we'll be led in prayers by the Wills family.
Hello! Do you think happiness is a truth? What does happiness mean for you? I've recently read this quote. Happiness comes from living well. You live well when you realize you are a spiritual person in a natural age, or sort of material age. Well, some of you will have heard about the Happiness Lab. Some of you may have even done the Happiness Lab. Well, we're going to host the Happiness Lab again this autumn, starting in November, Monday, November the 2nd, for 6 weeks. What is the Happiness Lab? Well, I don't know what happiness means for you, but the Happiness Lab is an opportunity to listen to psychologists, to doctors, to faith leaders and ourselves about what we think happiness is and what it means for us. And it's a course over done over 6 weeks, six evenings, and we're going to do them on Monday evening starting at 7:15, starting on November the 2nd. And we're going to look at subjects savoring and gratitude, kindness, forgiveness, how family and friends impact our happiness, body and soul, and also coping strategies. And we're going to do this course. We're going to do it on Zoom, so you can do it from the comfort of your own home. And it's a series of discussions and looking at some, watching some videos. Now, the Happiness Lab is very much for those perhaps of no faith, but it's open to everybody to come and explore that subject. And obviously, in this time and day and age, this may be very pertinent for you. So details are on cards like this that you can be found at church and are going to be distributed in various places around the town, in places like the Littleton Well. The details are also on the church website, standrewsandallsaints.org. And if you would like to join us, please can you contact or email the office or myself, let us know so that we can ensure that we get all the details to you. So that's the Happiness Lab starting Monday the 2nd of November, 7:15 on Zoom. Come and join us.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful creation that at this time of year is so full of colour, of reds and oranges and yellows and greens. Lord, thank you for your creativity and just the wonderful array that you have put in this world. Lord, help us to care for it better. Help us, Lord, at this time to look after your world, to look after the climate and everything that encompasses the animals, the plants and the people that that climate affects. Lord, I pray, show us what we can do to help and love your creation more. And Lord, at this time of year, we're thinking about harvest and we're thinking about all the beautiful orchards that we have around us. And Lord, we thank you for your provision of the food that we eat, of our family and friends and loved ones, of our church family, of our jobs, and just everything that we are so blessed to have. So right now at this time, let's take a few minutes just to thank God for all the wonderful things that he has given us. Lord, we pray for those that don't have these things around the world. We pray for the homeless, for those that are going hungry today, those affected by drought and flooding, those affected by poor harvest. Lord, we pray for your provision and blessing for these people. May you bring comfort to them, Lord, and may they know your love and care, Lord, in whatever situation they're in, Lord, that you will bring them into your kingdom blessing, Lord, that you may provide for them. And Lord, we thank you for our sheep. We know that you are the good shepherd and that we are your sheep. And Lord, we know that as we know our sheep by name, you know us by name, and you know all of us individually. So So, Lord, we lift to you all those individuals now that we have on our hearts that we just want to lift to you today. Lord, we pray for peace in the conflict in Eastern Europe between Armenia and Azerbaijan that has already taken hundreds of lives in the last week. We pray for resolution of that conflict, Lord, that you will restore peace to those communities, that you will protect and keep safe those communities, Lord, that the governments around them will be able to just bring harmony back to that area, Lord. Lord, we pray for our situation with COVID around the world. We pray that governments worldwide, Lord, that you will give them wisdom to know the best way forward. And as lockdown measures increase across the country, Lord, we pray that you will be close to people who are feeling far away from others and from you, Lord. And at this time, we pray for those, Lord, who are really struggling with loneliness. I'm really struggling with mental health and with anxiety, especially with the current situation. We lift them to you, Lord, and just, Lord, pray that you bring healing and comfort and just shower your love upon them. And we pray for the Happiness Lab that will be starting at church in November. Lord, we pray that you will bring everyone who needs to be there to that it will be a great place of remembering how all the good things in the world, and that it will be a real time of reconnecting with you and with each other and with ourselves, Lord, with your creation, Lord, that it will just be a really great turning point for people. And Lord, we bring all our prayers together now in the Lord's Prayer as you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Receive our adoration, Jesus. 11, verse 33 to 12, verse 2.
Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favour that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory. Always praise. Yes, yes, yes.
Place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your intention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants you from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
Welcome to our worship today. I'm Paul. This home in Malvern Wells, we're meeting here in this conservatory. The rain's coming down, which I think it is for the weekend actually, so it'll be fairly familiar to all of us, but it's good to be with you and to share this message on this marvellous theme of a people worshipping God with the whole of their lives. Worship 24/7. That's the heart of it. I was talking with a young Christian in a sixth form at school in Malvern just this last week, and she was saying she sees worship as something she does, her prayer or on Sunday, and her school as two different things and two compartments. And she was just beginning to realise, no, worship and work, worship and school, worship and home, they all are part of one and the same thing. I have a wonderful word which I heard all years ago from Elia Shakor, who is a Palestinian priest, pastor in Palestine. And I always remember him saying, make your life a working prayer and a prayerful work. Make it a working prayer. So my prayer is work. It's hard work, actually. But my work is a prayer. Make my life a working prayer and a prayerful work. That brings these two together. And that wonderful hymn, which some of us will know, of George Herbert, teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see, and what I do in anything to do it unto thee. Marvellous words. I was just in touch this last week with a friend of mine who is chaplain at the business, to the business community in Coventry on behalf of his bishop. And these business people, all Christians, they come together. There's three different groups. They want to make it into 10. At the moment they've got 3, and my friend facilitates them. And they came up with a word which made sense to a lot of them. And the word is worship. Now, I looked in the dictionary and it's not there. So you've got a new word. But you see, it's worship, worship, worship. And I thought that was a marvellous way of drawing together daily life and our worship of Almighty God. So when do you worship? When is your worship? Washing up, doing it, Lord, unto thee. DIY, if you're good at that, or not so good like me, doing it unto thee, O Lord. Walking kids to school, doing it unto thee, O Lord. Sitting at the computer, the whole thing goes wrong. Unto thee, O Lord. in the office, in the supermarket, all the places, and think of some of the places you don't like very much to go to, but you have to go. Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see, what I do in anything to do it as unto thee. And a wonderful scripture that we were given, those of us preparing for this message, was from 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Is this your kind of God? God involved in your daily life, your workship. And as we turn to these amazing verses we've had read just now by this family, thank you so much for that. St. Paul here is dealing at the end of Romans 11 with the big picture, the whole relationship of Israel and Gentiles, Israel or Jews and Gentiles, Palestinians, non-Jews. Colossally difficult, really. Someone has said, if we get the Middle East right in world politics, we get the world right. And it is so, so difficult, and sometimes just seems totally intransigent. But St. Paul comes to the end of trying to understand something of this. And then he comes to these words, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his ways, and how past finding out, searching out. St. Paul says, in the end, we're dealing with a mystery. And he's saying, don't miss the mystery of life in your workmanship, in what God is doing. And this is the first word I've written up here. They all begin with M. The first is the mystery of God. Someone has said about mystery, it's not so much something as interesting, but not certain. That's how many people look at it. Oh, that's mysterious. You know, okay, but, you know, it's all up in the cloud. It's mysterious. This wonderful definition by a poet, he just says, mystery is incomprehensible, but it's certain. Now, that's the Bible teaching. I can't understand it all, but there are certain things I do know. St. Paul says, I know, and it's beyond knowledge. And he says in one place, he says, how great is the mystery of our religion. It's in 1 Timothy 3, if you want to have a look at it. And he goes on to say, Jesus comes in the flesh, he's vindicated by the Spirit. The gospel is proclaimed, people come into faith, and he's raised up into glory. These are things we know, but they're mysterious because they're beyond knowledge. So, the mystery. Live with the mystery of God. When we actually have to say, Lord, there is so much I don't understand. With this COVID-19, there is so much that we just do not understand. The government certainly doesn't, and most of us don't either, as to day by day, how on earth do you sort out these intractable problems? And yet, at the same time, people of faith can also say, I don't understand, but I trust you, O God. God, as the scripture would tell us many times, God is king of the universe. He is in control. And it's not that we control God. It's the wonderful thing about mystery. It's not me telling God what I want. It's God saying, you're in my hands. Trust me. Hold the mystery, which is incomprehensible, but is utterly certain. And this is a freeing thing, to live with mystery. It's freedom. It's to say, Lord, you're in control of whatever my circumstances are at the moment. You are in control. And our call is to trust and to find our faith rooted ever deeper in the certainties that we know. So that's the big world St. Paul dealing with. Then he comes to the smaller world, which is the world we're living in. And this is where the beginning of Romans chapter 12. And this is where we turn to the mercies. Because he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. And it's interesting, he says, I beseech you. It's almost as if he's on his hands and knees. It's a very strong word, saying, I implore you, I entreat you. I appeal to you. He's on bended knee. And he's saying, we can only live because of the mercies of God. Not my rights, not my efforts. And we might say the mercies of God, very simply, is God reaching out to us, to me and to you in love. This is the mercy of God. Don't know if you've thought about an epitaph on your tombstone. I heard of one the other day by a man, I think actually he mentored C.S. Lewis. And he just had three words on his tablet, on his tombstone. Under the mercy. Under the mercy. What an epitaph for our lives. And our life, our work, our worship is a response to this. So, for instance, this past week, how has God reached to you in his mercies? Have you had enough food to eat? Have you given thanks for that? Said grace at meal? Lord, your mercies. Thank you. A conversation you've had and somebody's said something to you that's just, oh, I needed to hear that. Lord, it's your mercy. Thank you, and thank you for that person. An act of kindness. Somebody, a next door neighbour, brought us some apples. Just left them at our doorstep. Lord, thank you for that. Sometimes it's receiving a letter. I received a lovely, well, my wife actually received this beautiful card this last week. It's of a passion flower. And we've had one or two of these in our garden. It's beautiful, isn't it? And she painted this and sent it to Diana. And she just said, I hope you'll enjoy this. And it's got so richness in it. Lord, thank you, the mercies of God. Sometimes you just receive something and you just say, oh, Lord, all your mercies that come to us. God's mercies. And when this happens, we open our hearts further because we say, Lord, I'm in your debt. You just give me so much. The unconditional love that you pour upon me, your mercy, we give thanks. And the third thing that Paul moves on to is, I've said this word movement, because of the Lord's mercies, all that he pours into our lives, we offer ourselves to God. And there's two movements here. There's our movement, we have to do something, offer yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice. But God moves, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God does the transforming, we do the offering of ourselves. Well, how do we do this? Someone has said, and I find this so helpful, pray as you can, not as you can't. Earlier in this service, you've had somebody, Neil, I think, talking about worshipping God in our daily lives. I'm sure he will have said some wonderful things. But how do we worship? How do we pray as I can, not as I can't, not as someone else wants me to? What's natural to me? And that I can just allow this to be my expression of my worship. I think just sitting sometimes. You know, Mary sat at our Lord's feet just to sit. Not actually having to say anything. Sitting at the Lord's feet. Just there. Sometimes actually to lie down. The psalmist talks about those who lie on the on their couch and praise God. I love that one, Psalm 149. I think walking is wonderful. Again, the psalmist says, I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Just to take a short walk or go on a longer one, and you're walking before the Lord is part of your worship, just walking. You don't have to say anything, you're there. If you're like our rector Dave and you're on one of these exercise bikes and he's on this half an hour, is it a day or something like that? I don't know. Does 10 kilometres or something in half an hour. It's amazing. Okay, but he does that to the glory of God. And he has scriptures and he listens to LD365 and, you know, it's part of his, as far as I understand it, talking a bit with him, is part of his worship, of his prayer. I think sometimes we need to prostrate ourselves before God. Not many of us kneel in church. It's be the only time in church that anybody would kneel would be when they're in church, any time in their lives when they kneel in church. Psalm 5:7, the psalmist coming to church, it's wonderful. He says, I bow down before your holy temple, prostrate. They're always, St. Paul in prison, he says, I kneel before the Father, in Ephesians 3, from whom the whole, every family in heaven and on earth is named. He kneels in his prison cell. That's a wonderful way of prayer. Sometimes it's lighting a candle. I've lit this candle here. Someone sent me an email this last week, said he's so struggling with prayer, but in his poverty he lights a candle and he's there without words. And I wrote back and said, there is such riches in your poverty, because to light a candle, and I gave him these words, kindle for me the light, thy light, O Christ, restore me by thy presence. Just to light a candle, kindle for me thy light, O Christ, restore me by thy presence. I do this every morning. First thing I do with a cup of tea, light the candle, then I sit. And it's wonderful way of just beginning the day in worship. But you do it your way, don't do it mine or anyone else's. Other things can help. You may have a gift of tongues. That's a heavenly language. It's a wonderful thing. Our kids used to call it, when this was given to them, we've got a heavenly language. And it's wonderful. It's not given to everybody, but if you've got it, to use it. The Lord's Prayer, I mean, what a prayer, isn't it? And you can hold out your hands, as I've done sometimes in this particular community. Whenever the Lord's Prayer comes, they hold out their hands just to receive everything from that marvellous prayer. Sometimes it's just empty hands, isn't it? Like receiving the bread and wine at communion. Like coming before the Lord. Empty hands. Lord, I feel I've got nothing, but you've got everything. All your mercies pour onto me. Sometimes it's lifted hands. That's wonderful, to praise God with lifted hands. Sometimes the hands outstretched. You read Psalm 88, which is so full of darkness. But what can the psalmist do? He stretches out his hands to the Lord. Well, that's your movement. Do it as is comfortable for you. And then the last bit really is, God is doing things in you. Be transformed, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And that word transfigured, transform, actually links us with the transfiguration of Jesus. I've got it here on this wonderful icon. Icon is just a window into heaven to show us spiritual truth in different ways. And here is Christ on that Mount of Transfiguration. Here is Moses, here's Elijah, here are the disciples. And he's coming out, this is darker in the original icon. He's coming out of darkness, out of all the darkness that faces us in this world. But the light is there. And the light is touching the great prophets of old, but it's reaching through even to these disciples, followers, who are overwhelmed by the light of Christ, but they are filled with glory at the same time. And you may not see it on the picture, but actually there's light coming down through all of these. And St. Paul puts it so well for us. It's in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. He says, all of us are being transformed, being transfigured into his likeness, into the likeness of Jesus, and being changed from glory to glory. And this is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So you look at this icon and you're able to say, Lord, you're like this, and this is what you're giving me. Transforming, transfiguring my poor, lowly life. And you may never see it, and I may never see it in me. You see it in other people, but the Lord keeps us humble so we don't see it in ourselves. But it's going on, and he says in that verse, we are all being transformed. It's not a particular saint or someone else, you know, or a friend or someone who always seems better than I am. Gracious, no, we are all being transformed, changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And the effect of all this, as we end, is a wonderful word. It's this word, discern. St. Paul says that as you live in the mystery, open to the mercies, involved with the offering of yourselves, letting the Lord be the one who transforms us, so we discern. And the word discern, in the dictionary, it means to perceive clearly with the mind, by thought and gazing and listening. We say, don't we, a discerning person, someone with good judgment, good insight. Lord, make us discerning people. Move, Lord, in us, all of us, whoever I am listening to this. Thank you for the mystery that you open up to us. We don't have to understand, but we trust the certainties behind it. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. New every morning is your love, the unfolding of your mercies each day. Thank you that we offer ourselves, our bodies and souls, to be a living sacrifice, so that we can discern what is good and acceptable and your perfect will for our lives. Just pause a moment.
Well, thank you, Paul, for those words, those challenging words as to how we can honour God and worship God with the whole of our lives. And as a response, I want to encourage you to join with me in this prayer, which poem of praise response, which is adapted by from something that was written in the 1900s. And just as we do, let's really think carefully about these words. And if we don't feel able to say them, maybe don't say them, but just pray that God would give you the desire to say these. I am giving you worship with all my life. I am giving you obedience with all my power. I'm giving you praise with all my strength. I'm giving you honour with all my speech. I'm giving you love with all my heart. I'm giving you affection with all my sense. I'm giving you my being with all my mind. I'm giving you my soul, O most high and holy God. Praise to the Father. Praise to the Son. Praise to the Spirit. The three in one. And let's continue offering our response of the whole of our lives, and particularly our heart to God, as we sing or listen to our final song. I give you my heart. Lord, have your way in me.
This is my desire.
desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give.
I just wanted to show to you that I do really have my exercise bike here in my study, where I do have a half an hour in the morning of listening to Lectio 365 and just listening to some worship music and sing along, especially when we can't sing in church, and really worshipping God at the start of the day. And since I've been doing that, I found it a really good thing to just fill my mind with the things of God first thing in the morning, before I then go and pick up my Bible and read some scripture and pray further. And so I really encourage you, whatever you like doing, whether it's going for a walk or whether it's just sitting in front of a candle or doing something first thing in the morning, to just begin your worship with God. I really encourage you to do that, and just to see the difference that it makes in our lives. Just to say a couple more notices, next Sunday we're going to have our annual church meeting, our APCM at St Andrews. All Saints APCM is happening this Sunday, today. And I just to say about that, that if you would like to come in person, then please do book yourselves in. It's likely to have more people that want to come than normal. So please book in with the church office before noon on Friday if possible. And if you don't want to come in person, we're going to be able to watch that service and watch the APCM and participate on Zoom too. Details of that will be in the notices, and next Friday a Zoom login for you to join us with that. It'll be a short APCM looking back at last year, but there's a few key things and a few people moving on from leadership roles that we particularly want to mark and acknowledge in that. So we do hope that whether you're coming in person or joining us on Zoom, that actually that will be a special time together. Just to reiterate what Neil was saying earlier in his testimony, that he's hoping to get these trees and invite anyone who wants to. We'll only be able to have limited numbers to fit in the rule of six. But if you'd like to be part of that with Neil in planting those trees as an act of worship, then do get in touch directly with Neil and he can let you know when that's happening. But if you're watching this on Sunday morning, this afternoon, we've got three different opportunities going on. Firstly, I'm going to be up on the hills with my camera and inviting anyone to come and join me for worshipping God through photography. We're going to meet at 3:30 at British Camp Car Park. Please do contact me beforehand to let me know you're coming so that we can split into more than one group of six if necessary. The Fanes are going to be having a walk this afternoon too. We're starting at Colwell Station. If you would like to be part of that, then please do give the Fanes a ring and book yourselves into that. They can take up to 12 if one of them goes in each group. And also Alice and Isaac Wills are inviting people to go and spend some time with some of their sheep on one of the farms where they hold their sheep and to reflect and using just creation and the sheep particularly, reflecting on passages of God being a shepherd, to have an act of worship as well this afternoon. Again, if you'd like to be part of that, then please do get in touch with Alice or Isaac before 1 o'clock today, Sunday. And they can book you in, and particularly if they're a family who might want to go as well. But of course, that's going to be limited to a maximum of 12 people, so they can take six each in that. But that should be a special way of, again, trying to worship God in the normal things of life. Well, I'm going to say a final blessing as we go from here. And I really encourage you just to hold out your hands as just a sign of continued openness and worship to God. And join with me in these first few lines. Fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower you and transform you. May God the Son inspire you to follow him. And may God the Father surround you with his love, now and evermore. Amen. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you next week.